Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. I'm very glad to tell you that Scott Patterson is with us. Scott is a new friend, but I don't think he's going to stay a new friend. I think he's going to be an old friend. He's going to become an old friend. We're going to keep bringing him back because he's got a lot of things to talk to us about. He is a staff reporter at my favorite newspaper on the planet, the Wall Street Journal. You all know about that. And he covers technology for them there. And his first book is the reason he's here. And I'm so proud of him for writing this book, ladies and gentlemen. This is a book that needed to be written. It is a unique book, in my opinion. All the books that have been written about what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years or maybe a decade on how we've gotten into our financial crisis, this is a unique book among all of them, in my opinion. It's called The Quants, How a New Breed of Math Whizzes Conquered Wall Street and Nearly Destroyed It. Scott Patterson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. I meant what I said. I think your book is unique. I've seen most of the others. We've covered some of them on the show. I think yours is unique in that way.
Thank you. I tried to really get into the heart of what was going on.
Tell the audience what a quant is.
The term derives from quantitative, and a quant is a person who uses math and computer skills and science to basically predict the future course of securities on stock markets and options markets and derivatives all around the world. And they're kind of like weathermen who, you know, they predict what the weather's going to be
right
tomorrow or a week from now. But the difference is that it's a lot harder to predict markets.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's almost impossible. At what point in time, Scott, does the prediction, even though, as you say, it's very hard to do, does the power of the ability to predict actually become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Is that a fair question?
Mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely fair, because what happens is in quant land is everybody starts using the same models, and it kind of, in a way, the models become the market.
Yeah.
And create the new patterns in how the market operates. And that's really, you know, I mean, you kind of keyed into the real danger of what these guys do is, because they become the market and billions of dollars get put into these models, when something goes wrong with the model, things don't happen just the way the models predict, it all falls apart. And
we saw this
on a grand scale in the past few years.
So what you're saying is, instead of just providing a way of achieving a perspective on the marketplace, they're actually making Kool-Aid, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And then when everybody drinks the Kool-Aid, we have what happened in 2008.
Yes. It's the real danger of what these guys do, because my argument in this book is that the quants have really, truly come to dominate Wall Street. Every bank, every hedge fund, if you dig into what they're doing, there's these math guys, you know, quantum physicists, rocket scientists, really real rocket scientists,
yeah,
behind the scenes devising these methods to make money. And they're very smart, but a lot of times they don't really have a good feel for how markets really work, for how crazy markets can get.
Right. Well, so what you're saying is, I'm not saying the men are amoral or the people are amoral, but it's an amoral element, amoral force in a marketplace that's made up of human beings, isn't it?
Right.
Is that a fair way to attribute it?
They come up with some moral justifications for what they do, but a lot of times it's a lot of hot air and they're really trying to justify their big paychecks.
Yeah.
You know, they they leave out the human element. They're mathematicians. They're scientists. They're trying to devise rocket ships, and they forget about the people that are riding on the top of the rocket ship, and when it blows up, there's going to be some casualties.
Well, you know, Scott, for several years now, without realizing why, without understanding why, I've had the instinct, and I've talked about it on the show, I've had the instinct that Wall Street was working at cross purposes with Main Street. And the evidence in your book tells me that this is what I was feeling. I just didn't know what it was.
Right. I think that one of the things that's going on is that the way that Wall Street works has become so complicated and opaque because of this quantitative element that few people can understand. Even the CEOs of the companies don't really understand
it. Hold on to that.
Main Street has no idea what's going on.
Exactly. Now I'm going to pick right up on that. And we're also going to name some people, folks. We're going to identify some of these quants after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Scott Patterson is our guest.
Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we go.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. And check out my blog. We update that every day, sometimes more than once a day. My newsletter we'll send to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. That's free. All you got to do is tell us where you want us to send it. And then we've got thousands of archives of past interviews that we've done over the last 12 years. Thousands of articles that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. Lots and lots of stuff there. There's no other website like it in the world, folks. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Oh, there's a knowledge base, too. Don't forget, you can ask questions, get answers. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Scott Patterson is our new friend, folks, soon to be old friend. Scott is the author of the very exciting new book, The Quants, How a New Breed of Math Whizzes Conquered Wall Street and Nearly Destroyed It, and a lot of small businesses in the process. Scott, that's not on the bottom of Scott's book, but you should have put that in there, Scott. When you do the paperback, I want you to put it at the bottom, and a whole bunch of small businesses.
Okay.
So
absolutely, small businesses were definitely impacted by, as you well know.
And we didn't know what, and you know, we didn't do anything wrong, Scott. And that's I asked a Wall Street expert, a stock expert, a year or so ago. I'm not a stock guy. I don't do stocks on my show, but I invite people on sometimes to talk about them. And I said to him, does an individual investor stand a chance on Wall Street, investing on Wall Street, just as an individual?
Mm-hmm. And he said, laugh at you?
You know what he said? You know, here's what he said. He said, no.
That's I agree.
That's it. He didn't have any other, no other comments, just no.
Right.
And reading your book makes me feel that way. There's a guy you called the Wolf. Tell us who the Wolf is.
Mm-hmm. The Wolf is, I guess you would say that's Jim Simons.
Yeah.
He's the guy who runs Renaissance Technologies. He just stepped down.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mean the Wolf. I meant the Godfather. The Godfather.
Oh, the Godfather.
Ed Thorpe. I meant to say the Godfather.
We can get to the Wolf later because he's pretty interesting, too.
Right. No, I want to talk. I meant to say the Godfather. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, the Godfather. The Godfather
Ed Thorpe.
Is Ed Thorpe. He is sort of the first quant. He actually got to start figuring out how to beat blackjack in Las Vegas. He was an MIT scientist and mathematician, and he came up with a method using computers and high-powered math to crack blackjack. And he did it. He went to Las Vegas. He made pretty good money, and then he wrote a book called Beat the Dealer.
Is he the guy that they made the movie 21 after?
The movie 21 is the is about the MIT blackjack card counting team that was, they used Thorpe's methods. He actually wasn't part of that team. He went on and used his math skills to beat Wall Street. So he went on a much bigger game.
Right, and he basically he's the godfather of these of the younger quants.
Right, In the late 60s, he started up a hedge fund that eventually was called Princeton Newport Partners that was using math skills and computers to invest in stocks and stock warrants in a way that nobody had ever done before. And he also wrote a book about that called Beat the Market.
Mm-hmm.
That Beat the Market became a template for quants in later decades. They read the book, they figured out what Thorpe was doing, and it spread
right.
all around. And then all, you know, all these guys started using very similar methods.
So I've been saying for a while now that there are guys that caused this problem, that got all this, that built all this leverage, 70-to-1 leverage into, and helped create all this mess that we've got, that got rich, and now they're still rich, even though everything else has collapsed. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And that's probably one of the biggest problems, is that the incentives on Wall Street are so powerful. If you join a bank or a hedge fund and are given a decent amount of money, you can leverage it up, and essentially, if you can keep going for a couple of years, you're going to be set for life. You're going to be a millionaire.
Right.
If you blow it up, it's still yours. It's still in your bank account.
Yeah.
So,
as long as you don't break any laws, you're going to be okay. You just go go sit on the beach in the south of France. So that's what's happening.
And then the taxpayer
folks.
Has to pick it up.
And the small business owners that got caught up in all this. I mean, Scott, as you know, there are millions of small business owners that haven't made it. They didn't make it through 2009 because of what happened here. Now, talk to us about tell us what they did. Tell us what part did the quants play in the financial meltdown that we had?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they were every single level that you can imagine, but the real core of it was in the securitization market, where they bought loans, a lot of mortgages and a lot of really bad mortgages all around the country, and packaged them into these securities and sold them around the world. And then they did really crazy things using derivatives that were linked to those securities, made it even worse.
So this wasn't really trading. This was just leveraging things second, third, fourth time, right?
It was leverage on top of leverage.
Yeah.
The banks
70
used to
1
these
at one
to get
point.
More leverage,
yeah.
to make bigger bets and make bigger paychecks.
But it wasn't adding any value in those with every step that they were adding, added no new value to the asset, did it?
No, it didn't add. It created an illusion of prosperity in the country. Actually, it seemed like
mm-hmm.
it was really easy to get a loan when it was. It wasn't. It was a false promise that.
Right.
We had growth that was
mm-hmm.
it was fictional. It was just Wall Street getting greedy.
And
do you
believe, Scott, that kind of Kool-Aid that you're describing, a kind of Kool-Aid that they made? Do you believe that is what caused the financial meltdown?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. At the end of the day, these securities and then all the other leveraged vehicles. Linked
just
up
collapsed.
To them was the yeah that was
when
that
when,
was,
when the shade was pulled back and they saw that there was this little man. Stand by, folks. Quick break. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're visiting with Scott Patterson, our new friend, soon to be old friend. Scott is a staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal, the greatest newspaper in the world, and he is the author of the new book that I believe is, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's just been released, right, Scott?
Right, yeah, it just came out this week.
But, I mean, it's going to be a bestseller. There's no question in my mind. The Quants, Quants, How a New Breed of Math Quizzes Conquered Wall Street and Nearly Destroyed It. And tell us, I'm sure it's available wherever books are sold.
Yes, I Barnes & Noble, Borders, all their bookstores.
Yeah, so check it out, folks. It's outstanding. And in plain English, too. Thank you for that, Scott. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. These guys, I heard about an email. There was some question about whether these guys really knew what they were doing, if they really knew they were doing as much damage as they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard about an email where the dialogue was sort of like this, you know, this could really be causing a lot of problems. And the other one said, yeah, it probably could be. And the other one said, you know, this could really hurt a lot of people. What should we stop? And the other one said, well, we probably should, but if we don't do it, somebody else would. And the other guy said, yeah, you're right, let's keep going. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but isn't that kind of what happened?
Right. As the CEO of Citigroup famously said, as long as the music keeps playing, we'll keep dancing. He said that in 2007.
Wow.
And, you know, the music stopped.
Right.
And everything came crashing down.
Well, so the thing you're worried about, and you post in your book, the concern you have in your book, is that these guys have risen, they've done their deeds, they created the problem, we're cleaning that mess up now, maybe a residual, maybe to last, you know, for generations, Scott, right? And so what you're worried about, now, even though they've been outed, you've outed them and other people have outed them, you're concerned that they may not have learned anything, and also that they may be allowed to resurge and get back into control. What do you think?
Right. Well, I, you know, it's kind of why I hope people read this book, because these quants sort of operate with impunity. Their strategies are so complicated, at least in their own minds, that they think nobody can understand them. And I feel like the more people out there that actually know what's going on, the better, that they'll be able to point out when these guys start running off the tracks again, and, you know, you're doing it again. You know, I mean, I don't think quants are inherently bad for the market. They could be a force of good, but unfortunately, they just time and time again get out of control. Optimistic in their own methods.
Is there any way to regulate them at all?
You know, I think that
let me tell you something, Scott. My audience can't believe I just said that. They know how abhorrent I feel most regulations are. They can't believe I just said that, but I got to say it.
Right. I think that it's very, very hard, because these guys are smart. They'll figure a way out how to get around the regulations, and regulations always create unintended consequences.
See, that sounds
I feel like the regulators need to hire some quants, so they got some quant firepower on their own side. So they know what these guys are doing.
See, this sounds like some kind of a sci-fi movie where, you know, we have the robots got control of the weapons of the arsenal, and now that we don't know how to, you know, we don't know how to fight them. I mean, you're starting to. Before I was just concerned, Scott, but now I'm scared.
I think that we have very good reason to be scared, quite honestly.
Really?
Yes. You know, the quants have, in 87, they did, you know, Black Monday. They were behind Black Monday. In 1998, they were behind long-term capital management.
Right.
Which nearly brought down the global financial system.
Right.
This time,
they did that
same thing again, but worse. And it gets worse and worse.
Because
what's going to happen next time?
Because, well, here's the thing. The reason this was the worst was because the technology to affect global markets was there in today that it wasn't in 1998 and wasn't there in 87.
Right. They're spreading around the world. You know, and I really do think, I don't want people to think that I'm just anti-mathematician and quant, because they do have a purpose in the market.
Right.
But they go overboard, and I'm hoping maybe they'll read this book and think, you know, God, I don't want another book like this written about us again.
Yeah, I wish I could think that your book would make them quit, but mainly your book needs to help the rest of us put a lid on those guys. Scott, thank you for this work. It's excellent, and thanks for being here. I hope you'll come back again real soon.
I would love to. Thank you.
Scott Patterson, ladies and gentlemen. The book is The Quants. Buy two. You're going to want to keep one and give one away. I got to go for this hour. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.